people out of town. We have some people that's in the hospital. And so we want to always make sure that we're asking how we're doing, amen? Yeah. Because you just never know what a person may go through, especially around these holiday seasons, which are the most busiest seasons for counseling for me, because more people get depressed, and you can Google this, around this season more than ever. Because everything is fighting for your attention, amen? Everything is fighting for your attention. From McDonald's commercials to getting your kids the best G.I. Joe Kung Fu grip and all these other things that really don't pertain to Christ at all, you know, but everything is a pull.
Yeah.
And you have to make sure that you protect glorifying God first. Because you can see stuff out the wrong lens of life. And guess what? Your perception of life is everything. The way you see things and the way things are can be two different things in God's eyes and your eyes. Amen. And so we got some this awesome things going on. We got my brother Don proposed. Amen. Thank God for that. Amen. We're going to have some baby dedications going on in January for my brother back there, and also Al and many others. And this is a progressive church. We're just moving forward. Amen.
Amen.
And I just thank God for all of you all. Like I said, every time I get up on this podium, it's a privilege and an honor, amen? Because this is a privilege. Do you understand how precious it is to bring the Word of God forth? This is God's Word that saves souls, that heals hearts of disease, of cancer, of the truth, where you may be stuck in a lie, and next thing you know, you got a Word that catapults you to the next situation out of that lie, amen? And so it's always a privilege, and you know, I was talking to somebody this week as I was driving them in my back seat, and he was telling me that, you know, his son was dealing with cancer and he's in the hospice. And I was, you know, in my gear, I'm like, okay, let's pray, let's believe God, you know what I mean? And that's the mode that I've always been to. And he's like, you know what, I just appreciate the time that I'm going to be able to spend with him before the holidays over with, you know, before he passed on the transition. And I was looking at him, like, he was really sincere. Like, I'm like, okay, well, I believe God with that too, you know what I mean? And it just let me know that sometimes we can value the wrong things. We can look at the wrong things in the wrong way. Because he was like, I just thank God for the years I have spent with him. Instead of saying anything else, he could have been complaining. He could have been worrying. He could have been stressing. He could have been griping. But if he chooses, and this is a choice, to say, you know what, I will glorify God in everything that I do.
Amen.
Oh, come on, God. See, we have to worship him in spirit and in truth. Not if my Christmas toys come in.
Whoa.
We have to worship him whether we see things or not. We give him the praise and the glory. Amen.
Amen.
When we magnify God, everybody has the sun, right? But some people have the sun more than others.
Yeah,
say, how is that, Wendell? This is like when I was a little bad kid and you used to take a magnifying glass. We used to be in the back seat on the bus and you used to take a magnifying glass and with the right angle on that bus, we can burn a hole in somebody's leather coat. And then you can burn ants, you can burn. But you know, the thing about what I learned is this. I had a magnifying glass, and everybody had the sun, but I can have the sun a little bit more focused than somebody else can.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing about the sun. See, somebody could be like, this is the day, the time church over with. And then somebody could be like, this is the day that the Lord has made. One person is magnifying. One person is taking what it is, what it is. When you magnify it, guess who makes it big? You make it big. You expand your lens of the eye and you make it bigger than what it is. And you know what? You can magnify God all the days of your life. And it will become bigger and bigger and bigger. Amen. And when you don't magnify God, that's how depression creeps in. That's how fear creeps in. That's how you just live a mundane life. Amen. Because let me tell you something. You got like I said, commercials fighting for your attention. You have McDonald's fighting for your attention. Ba da 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 da.
I'm loving it.
Guess what? You know how much money they spent for that tune? Do you know they spent like 1.8 million for a commercial for the Super Bowl? Do you understand why? Because whoever has the intention has the power over your life.
Come on, man. Come on.
Whoever has the attention of what you're focusing on. See, you can be here and not here. And be focused on something else. You can be clapping your hands, praising God, and your mind be something else.
Man.
But if you have your attention on God, don't you understand that the joy of the Lord is your strength?
Come on.
And can't nobody take your strength away if God has given it to you?
Yeah. That is so good.
Okay, yeah, we go through rough patches in our life, but when the joy of the Lord is your strength, I'm not talking about the joy of your husband.
Come on.
I'm not talking about the joy of your friend. I'm not talking about the joy of this world. I'm talking about the joy of the Lord. The one that's forgiven you of all your sins, past, present, and future. That's the one I'm talking about. That joy, guess what? The world definitely ain't giving. And the world can't take it away. So you got to understand something. When you see me get riled up, when are we going to preach a message, you're going to be calmed down just a little bit, bro. Just bring it down. You can't bring this down. Because if he blessed me and I want to magnify his name, I can magnify him all I want to. You have to change your perception.
Come on now.
Don't, what they say, turn down for what? If God blessed you, why are you turning down for?
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Don't be quiet.
You got to see through the lens. Do you view the world through Christ, or do you view the world through yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Think about that question. How do you view the world? Because if you don't view the world the way Christ is seeing you, Christ loves you, he's forgiven you, but if you don't see that, then it causes you to move with a misstep in your foot. If you don't, you know, I had somebody come to me. Me and Keisha was in a class together for this timeshare. I said, man, I'd like to go to Amsterdam one day. And the brother looked at me like, this is 10 years ago, right? He goes, really? You really want to go to Amsterdam? I said, yeah, I'd like to go to Amsterdam. Wow, what's up? You know what's in Amsterdam, brother. Don't be looking at me like that. I said, looking at you like what? He said, you want to go there and smoke weed, don't you? I said, I seen Ocean's 12, and I seen like it was a nice place, and me and Keisha was looking at each other like, what are you talking about? But see, it was on his mind. It was on my mind. Or he said the red light. I ain't even heard of him before. But he talked to me based off of his lens.
Okay.
I'm talking to him off of my lens. When you got a different lens, you don't see the same way. You're not sin conscious. I'm around at the YMCA, and I was like, man, I'm trying to get these swimming classes together. And I remember this brother walking, what you doing looking at them ladies like that? I said, what are you talking about? I mean, some people walk around sin consciousness. They're so in bondage to what they're not doing right, to what people ain't doing right, that they can't see what God is doing. God wants you to take away the sin conscious and take heart to the grace conscious. That he loves you. That anything that he brings into your life, he is going to work for your good. For those that love him. And I love him. So I don't have a right to bring sin consciousness into my nature. Brother, you eating that Chinese rice. Don't you know they offered it up to Buddha? I said, listen, this chicken fried rice may go down in Buddha, but it's coming out in Jesus' name. I'm not going to be bound up to how you see it. See, the thing about it in the Word of God, Well, what did they do with their talents?
Come on.
You know, he said, what did you do with your talents?
Come on, bro.
It's not about how people see you.
Yeah.
See, if I'm praising God, well, you praise a little loud. I don't care.
Yeah.
Because true freedom is not caring about what everybody else thinks about you.
Yeah.
It's only caring about what Jesus says about it. And if Jesus is okay about it, then I'm okay about it. I don't have to have a committee to be okay. A lot of us want to check with so many people before we move forward in Christ. We want to check it. Is it okay? Did the word of God say it? Then you don't even have to wait for your pastor. Go out and minister to the streets. Go out and heal the sick. Go out and do what God has commanded you to do.
Amen.
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 Matthew 6:1. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do. You know, I'm going to put on the church for all the people that's been given.
Yes.
This person, they been giving this, and you been giving this, and you. I said, do you read the Bible? Why do you call him Lord? The Bible says, don't even put pictures of Jesus. He got pictures of Jesus all around her.
That's out. I'm going.
Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may have glory for from what?
Me.
See, some people want glory from me.
Yeah.
And not from God.
Come on.
Come on now.
See, when we come to church, who are you here to glorify?
God.
Thank you. But surely, I say to you, they have their reward. Wow. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your what? Right hand is doing. That your charitable deed may be done in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you what? Openly. Every openly gift I've received has been because of a secret life.
Come on now.
With God. And the secret life of God is underground, like a seed. Nobody can see it. It's isolated. Nobody was looking at it. At McDonald's for 5 years, serving people cups of coffee, preaching the gospel to 3 people for 5 years straight. People ridiculed us. What y'all doing? You ain't doing nothing over there in that corner. Guess what? God seen it. It don't matter what you see. See, some of y'all are perplexed because you're waiting for everybody else's permission to set you free instead of being in a secret place with the Most High God to set you free. Going to the prison ministry with Glenn, and the brother was in jail for the wrong reasons. He came himself, gave that wonderful speech. Was that this year or last year?
Last
year. And he was talking about how he wrote to Congress, he wrote to the senators, and he wrote, and he said he was just so angry and angry. And God told him, you haven't wrote a letter to me.
Yeah.
Come on now. 20 years in jail. Missed his daughter's graduation, missed all these things. He's frustrated, he's angry. And he said, the Holy Spirit sat him down and said, won't you talk to me? You talk to everybody else. They can't say, it can't hurt. And he wrote a letter to Jesus.
Yeah.
And the bottom line of the story, Jesus got him out.
Yeah.
I shook his hand last year. I said, man, that's a wonderful testimony. Because you know what it says? Your insides matter.
Yeah.
Even if nobody else sees it.
Yeah.
See, these are the precious parts that you give to God. Where nobody else sees. The promises that nobody else sees but you and Jesus. If you don't have an intimate relationship with God, and it's only outwardly, then your outward won't matter. Because why? You know, in nutrition, they have these things called empty calories. That means that you can actually eat something and still be hungry.
Donuts.
Don't blame us. We got some eggs back there too, okay? But the same thing can be in life. Listen,
choices.
You have your family, you have your friends, you have your bills, you have your work, you have your troubles, you have your, I forgot, Junior, what was this E one? Empty parts?
Empty, yeah.
And then you have your life.
That was the emotions.
Emotions, there you go, thank you. What we try to do, we try to carry all these at one time.
Man, come on now. Yeah.
You can't carry all of them at one time. You know why? Because you were not meant to. We got this word called multitasking, like it's a beautiful thing.
It's not.
See, what you have to do, because when, how you do that? How are you a dean? How are you a driver? How are you a pastor? How are you a teacher in the school? No, because I don't do it. What I do, I take work, I cut my phone off, and I say, thank you, God, for this precious job that you've given me.
Thank you, Lord.
And I will honor you with it. And I love you, Jesus. Thank you that you have given me, and I love you for this, and I honor you for it. What am I doing? I'm magnifying. And then as I finish the day with it, I let it go.
Right.
Then I go to the next one. You know, we try to do, we try to grab all of one time. You can't. Quality over quantity.
Come on. Come on.
Just because you got a lot in your hands don't mean you got it. That's it. Then when you drop it off, you can sleep at night because guess what? You're giving your all to it.
Yeah.
If I'm counseling you, you will see. I got my phone off and I'm talking to you. I might miss 5 minutes off. They're going to have to forgive me. But guess what? I'm giving all my attention to you because that's what God has created me to do at that moment. You have to respect what God gives you at the moment. You, your mind should be nowhere else but here.
Yes.
That's how anxiety. I'm going to help you out with anxiety.
Yes. Yeah.
Anxiety happens because you don't give your mind permission to rest where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you can think about something outside these four walls doesn't mean you should.
Need to.
Guess what? Can you walk through a wall? No. That means that you're supposed to be right here. So only allow your imagination to be where God has placed you. Well, this is stepping stone. I'm just here so I can go to the next level. Wrong attitude. Mm-hmm. No, you take it. You take your friends. You appreciate them. Mm-hmm. You love them.
Yeah.
You thank God for them. Mm. You enjoy them. And then you let it go. Mm-hmm. And then you get the next one. Your bills. Lord, I give this up to you. I thank you, Lord, that you have provided for me everything I need to take care of these bills.
Yeah.
Do you see when Jesus and the people came to him with the bread, and they was like, we ain't got enough. He took the bread, and what he do? He risen it, and he gave what? Thanks. What did the bread do?
Mm-hmm.
It multiplied.
Yeah.
See, we want things to multiply, but we don't want to give thanks.
Oh, man.
Thank you, Lord, for these bills. And thank you for the provision to pay them.
Yeah.
And I love you for it, Lord.
Thank you,
I give you praise for them, Lord. And then you let it go. Mm-hmm. And you keep doing this, man.
Yeah.
Thank you for my family. I wake up, pray with Keisha. I thank you for my wife. I thank you for my mother. I thank you for my father. I thank you for my family come. I thank you for my life. And then you walk with that. And then you drop that in the bucket. But you can't take the bucket and have everything at your hands at one time. This is how some of y'all look like. In the spirit, y'all looking like this. Y'all got too much.
Yes.
You're only supposed to have one at a time. You're overburdened with friends, with family, with money, with bills, and guess what? You only take one at a time.
Come on.
Amen.
Well, somebody gonna get mad at me if I didn't call them back.
Well, guess what?
Pray for understanding friends.
If they real friends, they will understand. That's how that works. So you take each thing that God has given you,
mm-hmm.
and you glorify it. If you see that I'm here, how do I start off? I say, I thank God for preaching to you all. I may say it in a different way, but I appreciate being here. And when you don't appreciate being here, guess what happens? You have an empty life. Oh yeah, I'm just paying the bills. Oh yeah, I'm just work. I'm going to work. No, you have a divine purpose at work. Guess what? God has already met your needs.
Yeah.
Guess what? God has already met your trouble.
Hey.
Guess what? He's going to use your enemy as a footstool.
Yeah.
Hallelujah, man.
That's good.
So your perception of life should be Thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen.
I can do all things in Christ, Brother Wendell. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. Well, the thing about it is, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
But the all things may be long suffering.
Mm-hmm.
You know, love is patient. Love is kind. Long is also long suffering. Don't leave that one out.
Yeah,
that's. When you're in love with God, I can't help but to be patient with you.
Man.
When you're in love with God, I can't help but to be long-suffering with you. Why? Because he was long-suffering with me. Let's read it in all this, in the entirety, okay? Philippians 4:10 says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now, at last, your care for me has flourished again. Through you surely did care. But you lack opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be what? Content, satisfied. I know how to be abased. I know how to be abound everywhere and in all things. I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to be abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens. That means in every area of your life, you have the strength to overcome it. Whether it's having lack, whether it's having plenty. We use this scripture as, I can do anything I want to do.
Oh,
no,
man.
I can endure anything that God has me to the. Come on, y'all. I'm preaching better than y'all. Celebrate. You can do all things that is in front of you. If you had $1 million project, you got the money to do the $1 million project. If you ain't got it, you gonna get it. If you ain't got the skills to have a good relationship, he will equip you with the skills to have a good relationship. Whatever you have in lack, he will make sure you have. If you ain't got the endurance to work, he will give you the endurance to work. It's whatever that you need, whatever that you're lacking, he will make sure that you, man, but God, these family members, they get on my nerves. I will give you the proper love to be able to be an overcomer of the people that hate against you.
Yes.
So then Paul says, I can do all things.
Yes.
Paul got hit by the Jews with rocks. I can do all things. God brought him back to life.
Man.
See, whatever the guy has put me in front of, I can't be a pastor in my own strength. Trust me.
Right.
I'm a pastor because he gives me the grace to be a pastor.
Yeah.
So you have to pray and be careful of what you're putting your hands to and making sure that God said, because whatever God says, he will provide whatever he puts your hand to. So we're not going to preach the message of, if you're in Christ, you're going to have a perfect life. Can't nobody touch you. No. The Bible says this. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are pressed. We are hard pressed on every side. Yet not what? Crushed. We are perplexed, but not what?
Despair.
We are persecuted, but not what? We are struck down, but what? That means you can keep hitting me. You can keep hitting me. You can keep hitting me. You can keep on laughing at me. You can keep on hurting me. You can hit me with the nail. You can hit me with the spine. And I'm going to keep on coming because I got the power of God inside of me. It doesn't mean that no one's formed against you. Yeah, no one's formed against me will succeed.
Oh,
Because guess what? If an orange, your orange is going to stay orange.
Come on,
you can squeeze it as much as you want to. And if you squeeze it, guess what's going to come out? Orange. And if I'm a part of love, you can squeeze me, guess what's going to come out more? Love, love, love. I'm going to love you to death. When you just don't give up, why? I got no give up in me. I got Christ in me. You got Christ in you. The hope of glory. How can you give up on your family members when you got Christ in you? I've seen Clifton struggle with his son for many years. He got a document on Facebook. Stealing from his house. Doing all these things. And Clifton would not give up. Our pastor informed him on his son. And now Clifton is... son is preaching the gospel. Right now, as we speak, he's preaching the gospel. But he would not give up on him. They said, kick him out the house. He in and out of jail, in and out, in and out. But God sees your destiny more than he sees your mistake. And guess what I'm saying? That there is something deeper inside of you that you haven't seen yet. You wanted God? I'm still living in this. Why do you even have to exist? Because there's something in you that you haven't seen yet. There's something in you that you haven't discovered yet because you've been looking at the wrong lens. The lens of the world can't define you. God's word defines you. And if he calls righteous, just, holy, without blame, he's talking to your spirit, man, not your flesh. Your flesh can be weak, but the Christ in you is stronger than any mountain, stronger than all the suns combined together. You have a hope that won't die. You have an endurance that can outlast the Energizer Bunny. And that commercial's been going on for 30 years. You have something inside of you saying, I shall live, I shall not die.
Yeah.
At McDonald's, sir, that's, you know, I tell people, that's where real GFO starts. I went to McDonald's for two people for 5 years, serving them coffee, preaching them the gospel. Thing that don't come out of this. I can't believe a lie when I'm in the truth. There is something coming out of this.
Good.
You know why? Because those two people matter.
Yeah.
We want to go on to the next one. I'm only here as a, I heard so many people, I'm only here as a stepping stone so I can go to the next level. You don't appreciate this level, you ain't going to the next level. If you ain't faithful over the what? Level, then you ain't going to be ruled over much. So you want to go to the next level, but you don't want to appreciate your husband, your wife. You want to go to the next level, but you don't want to appreciate your church. You want to go to the next level, but you don't want to appreciate where you're at on your job. Appreciate where you're at. We say Thanksgiving. I'm not preaching a Thanksgiving message because it's Thanksgiving. If y'all know my heartbeat, I'm always in gratitude. Because I understand that gratitude is the language of God.
Yeah.
If you don't have a gratitude, you can't even see what God is doing.
Yeah, see.
It only takes 5 pressure. 5 pounds of pressure to kill somebody. And it takes 9 months to create life. Think about this.
Yeah.
That means God ways is in the seed form working through time. Satan ways is instant gratification. Right now. If I can't get it right now, if you don't preach the message that's gonna knock me out of my section in that 5 minutes, right now.
No.
Sometimes you gotta let that baby bake.
Yeah.
Sometimes you gotta let it cook. Sometimes you gotta wait for your promise. Then you appreciate it much better. Mm-hmm. It's a process in everything that you do. And the longer the process, the greater appreciation. You think the longer the process, the more God mad at me. No. The longer the process, Abraham, the longer the process, King David, the longer the process means God is doing a mighty work in you.
Come on, bro.
Because those that wait upon the Lord, he shall renew what? Their strength. I love the Bible because you can also say this, those that don't wait,
yeah.
You ain't going to have no strength. Why? One of the things I learned about God is, you can either go off on somebody and want a relationship,
yeah,
or you can wait for God to open up a perfect time to talk to the person.
Amen.
This is like this in every facet of life. When I got robbed, I can hit him right now and knock him out and be over with. Instant gratification. KO. Hit you on one of these Mike Tyson ones. Or I can wait for the Lord to vindicate me. And let me tell you something. When the Lord vindicates you, everybody comes out winning. When you vindicate yourself, though, it's damage. Some of it is you can't even repair no more,
yeah,
because you wanted to put your little two cents in.
Come on.
You couldn't wait for God to lift it up. You couldn't wait for God to the Holy Spirit. Sometimes in being in long suffering, you gotta wait for an opportunity. Sometimes the opportunity may come maybe in 2 years, and then you see an open door, and you may say something that healed it. Wait on God, man. That's what we're doing when we do baptism today. It's a liquid grave of saying, the old man is dead, and I'm arising for Christ now. He is my Lord and my Savior. You know what Lord means? Some of these people that say the word Lord, I'm like, he ain't your Lord. When he's your Lord, you only do what he tells you to do. Do you understand? I can't hold a grudge. Because why? He is my Lord. You can have a person that come in that door right now that hates me. I'm going to hug them.
Come on, man.
I'm not going to negotiate. Should we hug him? No. No. I ain't heard him call me alone. There's no negotiation in love.
Amen.
You're negotiating with yourself. You're not calling him God.
Come on.
This is not a democracy. This is not a negotiation. Lord, I'm doing what you told me to do. I am a disciple of you, Jesus.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm not playing that song. My life is not. It's nice. Glenn, hit that beat. Nice for it. My life is not my. I can't hear it. But when I hear that, I swell up. Why? Because when I say it, I'm for real, man.
Amen.
My life is not my own.
Right.
I don't care how many people come here today. My life is not my own. I have to give it my all.
Yeah.
Because he gave his all at the cross.
Come on, bro.
Yes.
Come on, bro.
And I'm not living my life through anybody else's perception of me.
Yeah, yeah.
That's true bondage, y'all. I remember somebody said, I said, man, this person at the YMCA thought I was looking at girls, and I was just trying to figure out. He said, well, were you sitting by the window? I said, yeah, I was sitting by the window, but I wasn't thinking. Well, you know what? You have to move your life in a way where you're, I said, listen, brother, I can't move all these different ways because of how people see me. I'll be moving for the rest of my life.
Come on. That's good.
I've had people come to GFO and say, Wendell, if you don't change the name of GFO, I'm going to leave. I say, God, that's manipulation.
Come on now.
Do you understand? When you stand for the truth, you don't budge, you don't compromise.
That's right.
Come on.
Or you'll be compromised all your life. You're the people pleaser. How can I please you now? You can't please man and God. It's already in the book. You'll be spending the rest of your life in turmoil trying to please man and God. They're enemies of one another.
Yeah.
I ain't got time to explain everything that I do. Jesus did it. He said, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. Oh, Jesus, you better say that again. Break it down like a fraction so we can understand. Listen, he said this. I did it so prideful people will run away. Because he resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble. That means that Jesus have a madness behind his message. That if you don't want to know, you already don't want to know. Whatever you're looking for, you're going to find. Y'all missed that one. Whatever you're looking for, if you're looking why you don't want to be here, then you already found it. If you're For those that love you, there's no apology needed.
Yeah.
For those who don't love you, no apology will do. Mm. You'll be explaining yourself for the rest of your life.
Come on.
I'm moving on to the person who wanna appreciate life with me.
Yeah.
Not neglect me. Why you wanna run back to something that wanna hurt you? Why you wanna run back to something that treats you so sometimes?
Why? Come on, man.
Run to something that wanna love you.
Yeah.
I made a vow to myself and God, I'm gonna love what loves me back.
Come on, man.
I'm gonna love what loves me back.
Yeah.
That's the truth. Now, guess what? Yes, I do ministry to people that may not give me back. I'm doing that in the name of the Lord. That's a difference.
Yeah.
I once went to a homeless man downtown. Lord placed it on my heart to buy him a bagel and some drinks. I put him in my car. I said, come on, man. Lord placed it on. He said, thank God for you, brother. I went downtown over there by the courthouse, the Panera Bread, went in, bought him bagels and milk. He came to me. He said, brother, I said, what's going on? I only drink organic milk. I said, oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Holmes, man. But you know what? I said, what do you drink? You know, he tell me he had a little lactate problem or whatever. I went and got him a different drink. Why? I didn't get a grudge with him because, let me tell you something. If God told me to do it, I'm doing it in the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
I'm not good doing it so I can get something back from it.
Yeah.
Okay? That's called benevolence giving in the Bible. When you're doing it because God inspired you to.
Come on, man.
And then you got your personal life, your marriage, your friends. Those are the things that you should be hooked up and linked up with godly people. And if none of them are godly people that can see how you see, that forgive how you forgive, then you got a weakness in your link.
Yeah. Mm. Amen. Come on, man.
It's the difference between who you minister to and who you link up with.
Come on, man.
That's the most important decision of your life.
Ooh.
And you can't put that up for ransom. You can't just say, sarah, sarah, whatever gonna be will be. No, the lions hang out with lions. Penguins hang out with penguins. Believers hang out with believers.
Yeah.
Man.
Well, don't we supposed to help people? I tell people this. If a person is falling off a building, help them out. But if they scraping to get on that building and trying to get off and they trying to get and help them even more. But if they on that building and in the building they pulling you off the building, you gotta let that person go. You trying to hold. Well, God wants to bless everybody. That's not what the Bible says. He says, I resist the proud, and I give grace to the humble. I'm going to be better than Jesus. I'm going to give to the proud, too. Go ahead and do that. Knock yourself out. I don't give the proud to people. Because the Bible told you not to. See, this is not about politically correct. This is about the Word of God. He's trying to protect your life. When a person wants it, they'll yearn for it. They'll want to be with you.
No.
They'll call you up. It won't be you just calling them. They'll call you too. I know I'm missing somebody.
Yeah.
I'm going to end off with this. And I have to remind, every 5 months I got to put this scripture up because we forget that it's not what goes into a man's mouth that defiles a man, but it what comes out of a man's mouth that defiles a man.
Yeah.
It's not what happens to you. I bet you we all have horror stories of what happened to us from childhood to now. But it's not what happens to you. It's about what you say. It's gonna happen now. I've been hurt. I've been shot at, I've been molested, I've been this, I've been that, I've been bad, I've been, guess what? But you still here. God still loves you. He still got purpose for you. You bruised, but you're not broken. You're perplexed, but you ain't out. You're hurt, but you still function, and guess what? That means there's still purpose for you.
Yeah.
Be down, but not destroyed. God says we're pressed upon all ends. But guess what? You can go to the secret place, just like that man did when he was locked up for 20 years. And you can have a little conversation with a man named Jesus. He wrote to senators, they ignored him. He wrote to Congress, he wrote to the president even. But he wrote to Jesus, and Jesus got him out. Somebody read that message he wrote to Jesus. See, let me tell y'all something, man. We don't come here to play church.
Come on, man.
There's an intimacy. When you come here, this should be only the intimacy that you've been hearing in your closets. You come here to confirm the intimacy so you can move forward in that thing that you heard. That's how you know this is not about control. I'm just trying to get you to do what I want you to know. This is about your relationship with your most heavenly Father. He says, come back home because you belong to me. I love you more than you love yourself. Don't you remember when you was trying to hurt yourself? I love you more than you. That's why you should devote your life to him. That's the reason why we have things like baptism. Why? We are surrendering our life and we're coming back as his life. So grudges, all that stuff, y'all, man, for this Thanksgiving year, y'all going to see family that y'all don't want to see. Y'all going to be around people that you, guilt going to come around. You know, it's the last thing here. Let me think about all the things I ain't did. Stop it. Stop evaluating your life by your lens and start looking by his lens. That you're his beautiful daughter. That you're his beautiful, precious son. After he got baptized, the Holy Spirit said, this is my son in whom I what? Well, please, if you're not hearing that, you're hearing the devil. God is pleased with you. You know what we do? We don't look to the blood. We look to our things that we did. What is he pleased with? Listen, this is going to blow your mind. He died for you. Y'all missed it. Yeah, he died for me so I can die, so I can do this. No, first, get this. You are the apple of his eye.
Come on, that's good. Yeah.
Everything else is a reflection of that. We're trying to do. I had a person say, "Well, I got to do all the commandments." No, not yet. First, receive this. That he loves you and that he has washed you without blame, the Bible says. Do you see that of yourself? First. What's that? What's the importance? Because you only move out of the identity of who you think you are. It was two people locked up. And he forgave, a master forgave one. He said, you set free. And then he forgave another one. He says, you owed $100,000. I'm letting you go out of jail. The Bible says the man didn't even thank God when he went out of jail. He went out and he said, I'm going to lock this person up so I can pay back this other person that was. And then the Bible says the master saying, he said, why are you making these people pay? Wasn't you just locked up and I let you go? He says, I'm going to lock you back up. Because you're trying to lock other people back up. But something I caught in this story that the Bible said about the man that was locking up other people. He was doing it because he did not receive what happened to him.
Wow.
He got out, but he was still in bondage. Because his mind was, I gotta pay him back. So I gotta lock all these people up so I don't owe nobody. No. Who the Son is set free is free indeed. God did not free you so you can win souls.
Wow.
Hey. He freed you first because he loves you.
Come on.
Yeah. Once you receive that in fullness, the byproduct is you saving souls.
Wow. Break it down.
But we want to skip on. We want to include it all. You got to go one step first. God loves you first. Receive that full. Because let me tell you the truth. It was a lady at the well that the Lord freed up. And Jesus didn't even have to go tell her to go tell everybody. And she did it anyway. That means that when you're truly free, there is something inside you that got to tell everybody. When you're truly free. You ain't got to have missionary evangelist and boot camp. The boot camp is because we're trying to control you to what to do, but you haven't really been inspired by God because you haven't truly received the fullness that He wants to give to you.
Big difference.
So when I look and I forgive somebody, and somebody go, "Ooh, Wendell, how you forgive that person? You know they was talking about you like a dog." I said, "Well, I can forgive because I neglected Jesus in my teenage years.
Ooh.
So it's very easy to. The reason why it's so hard for some people not to forgive, because you want to forget about all the bad stuff you used to do when you was a teenager. Ooh. Oh, I'm on top. Yeah, I'm preaching myself. We don't want to think about the stuff other people have done to us. But remember all the times you didn't do all the right things and God forgave you?
Yeah.
See, this is the reason why the grace message is the realest message, the real gospel message. Because there ain't no faking it.
Yeah.
I'm out here talking about I've been perfect all my life.
Come on.
I'm talking about I've been restored.
Amen.
I've been redeemed.
Amen.
I was blind, but now I see. Should be your message.
Yeah.
I know some people that somebody that did 100 good things and they made one mistake and they cut off a life. I'm like, how? How, right? I mean, all the things you've done wrong? And you can't forgive one? One mistake? Man, I'm so glad God didn't cut me off when I made a mistake.
Yes.
I'm so glad that He still loved me.
Yes.
Even though I resisted Him over and 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 over more than I can count.
Yes.
I don't even have the nerve to act like I'm somebody else's judge.
Come on now.
When He set me free.
Yes, He did. Yes, He did.
You just don't know all the stuff I done. No, you don't know the power of the cross.
Mm-hmm.
You magnifying the wrong things. Stop magnifying your problems and magnify the blood. Amen?
Amen.
I'm done. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's all stand for you know, in this season, especially in our church, we go through different seasons of life. Just like the ocean, man. Sometimes the tide comes in, the tide comes out, the tide comes in, but there's one thing that remains. That rock. That salvation. And this is not just an altar call for receiving Jesus, as in receiving as your Savior. This is also saying, "Lord, I forgot about you this week. I put my mind on some other stuff more than I put magnified your name. And I'm here to magnify you today, Lord. And I'm placing my attention back on you." Have anybody put their attention on some things they ain't supposed to put their attention on, and now you say, "I'm tired of this. I want to put my attention back on you, Jesus."
Yeah.
Don't you understand that putting your attention all on you is selfishness?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have true freedom until you start serving others.
Come on.
So get your eyes so hard off yourself. Stop looking in that mirror so hard to find every fault. And start getting out and doing something for others. That's true freedom.
Yeah.
The Bible says the person that's serving is the greatest. You know why? Because they're not self-conscious. They're so busy loving because of what God has done for them. I ain't got time to be thinking about my flaws. I'm too busy loving God, man. That's how your whole life should be. With your friends, with your church members, with your work, all of it should be a life of giving. I'm here to give. If you get married and you say, I'm married, so what you can do for me? That's self-destruction. Trust me. No, I'm here to give you something.
Yeah.
And you're there to receive too. But I'm just saying, if you go in with the wrong mentality in any area of your life, you are already made to lose, because that's not kingdom mindset, man. Real kingdom mindset is, I'm here. What did we come to church here to do? To give God the praise. As you give God praise, guess what? You are going to receive something. But that's not your first look. Your first look is to give. Because when you really in love with God, you know He loves you. You know He got your back, man. You ain't always looking, what you going to do to me? No. I know He got my back. I don't have to keep looking over my back, wondering who's going to pat me on the back, if I do a good job or not. No, God got you. Everybody say, God got me.
God got me.
And He loves me.
And He loves me.
And I believe in you, Jesus.
And I believe in you, Jesus.
And I know You love me.
And I know You love me.
And I know You died for me.
On that cross.
On that third day. You giving Your life for me. And for that, I love You, Jesus.
I love You, Jesus.
And I receive You in my heart.
I receive You in my heart.
I will not let this holiday
steal my joy.
For the joy of the Lord
is my strength.
I'm forgiven
for all guilt,
for all shame.
For
even what I did last night.
I am forgiven.
And I am free
of guilt.
And I thank You.
And I
receive You,
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
That was the very first time that you actually received Jesus. Everybody with your eyes closed. That was the very first time that you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I just want you to raise up your right hand. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.